The emerald ash borer is spreading across the United States and getting closer to our North Shore region and forest. Joining us now is Myra Timer from the USDA Forest Service Superior National Forest. So the ash trees that are in our region, are there very many of them? Do we have a lot?
Yeah, we have about 1.1 million acres of black ash on our forests in Minnesota. A huge concentration of the ash are up in the northeast here. And we have on the Superior, we have mostly the black ash.
What exactly, does it harm the tree, and in what way? Why do we care?
Sure. Let me give you some information about the emerald ash borer. It's a beetle, and it belongs to the family of the metallic wood borers. So we do have some native ones here, the two-line chestnut borer and the bronze birch borer. Both are of that same family. But this one's non-native. We think it came on pallets, ash pallets, from Asia. And in 2002, it came into Michigan. The thing about it is that it attacks all the species of the North American ash, and there's no natural resistance to it. And unlike the other, wood-borne beetles are a good thing. They decompose the wood. But typically, wood-borne beetles come in secondary after the tree's, been stressed out, it's old, it's got some other things going on, and that's kind of the natural cycle. But these guys come in and they kill ash healthy trees. And what they do is that the female comes in and she lays eggs on the bark of the ash tree. And then the larvae, they tunnel in, and you can't see those tunnels, they're really small. And then they eat that phloem and the outer sapwood, and they make these S-shaped galleries. And that's fine, they're making their little path in there, but if there's enough of them, they cut off the water going up to the tree, to the top of the tree, and the food that the leaves are producing down to the roots. And so essentially they are starving the tree.
So it's a slow death. It's not an immediate, like it may bloom in the spring, but then slowly kind of fade out.
Yeah, and from what we can gather, there's not that many at first, and they can re-attack trees, the same tree, and so they'll start up in the branches. So it's way up in the top of the tree in the branches. So it's easy to not know what's happening for a long time.
Are there a lot of those then affected now? Are they just starting to really come into our area?
It's so hard to spot, so we don't know. So right now, we don't know that we have any on the forest.
I mean, can we do anything to treat this, to get rid of this?
We don't feel we can do anything to get rid of it, but we could help slow the spread. So we did, we were dismayed when they found it in Superior. So that means it's closer than even the cities. The main thing is to don't bring firewood. So if you can buy your firewood locally, that's really the best thing. Don't move the ash around. And if you don't know if you have ash, there's a lot of resources to help identify the ash.
What are some of the resources? Where can people look to learn about the kinds of woods they have with them?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff you can even just Google some of that stuff. But Diane Booth is at the Cook County Extension, and she's a wonderful resource for people. And she told me I could let out her name. But there's also websites. And so if you think your tree is infested, you could check out www.extension.umn.edu/issues/EAB/.
So
and that would be EAB particularly.
That would be the University of Minnesota's Extension Services?
Mm-hmm. University of Minnesota Extension.
Okay. When you think of firewood, I think of all our visitors to the community. You come up here and they want to go camping and have a little fire. If you're just coming here to our region and you buy a bundle of firewood, mm-hmm. you might not know, or do we already make sure that what is offered out here is not going to be ash. Is...
Well, we don't know if there's any ash in it. But yes, if you buy it locally, at least if there's some here, you aren't going to transport it. I mean, that's the idea about not spreading it. And so the counties that we know they're in there, they already have those requirements with a quarantine. You know, at some point we may be faced with that issue, but we're hoping that's many, many years away from us right now.
So this is a slower process than when you say many, many years out. We're just beginning then to feel an impact and having some awareness?
Yeah, I mean, we've been, or the Minnesota department has been putting up traps. Now, they're not as effective as the gypsy moth traps. So it's harder to catch the bug. But we are out there monitoring it to see if we can find it. A bunch of training, the University Extension Service has done a great job of training people to become more aware of what to look for. We're all learning what to look for. And there's research now that's being done about, you know, what's been more effective about how you can spot it and what are the trends in the places that they have the EAB already. I think the role for the Superior National Forest is to look forward to how we're going to be managing it. So we have some deeper management issues that we're going to need to tackle. And it's a tough one because it's going to kill a bunch of trees when it does come because it kills everything. Right now, what we're dealing with is how are we going to manage all of those lands when the ash borer comes, because it's killing a unique ecosystem. It's the wet forest types. And if it kills that many trees, and when it does come, it would seem very quick then. And all the trees in our predictions will die. And so the water table could be greatly affected. And that and how the wildlife and the birds and everything are going to be affected with such a huge change. And the fact that we might lose forest cover is what we're, right now we're just trying to learn as much as we can. We are going to be doing some different types of treatments in ash to see if we can plant other tree species that could survive. Because the one tree, according to the climate change, the atlases, they are saying that an elm tree is your best replacement. Well, we know that elm doesn't survive with Dutch elm. So we're going to be trying some different things. So we're at the beginning of trying to figure out the different ways we're going to be able to manage and what we think, how bad we think the effects are going to be with the water table.
So this is just the beginning of very interesting and, you know, widespread impact. It's not just a tree we're talking about here. So lots of opportunity to come back another time and keep us up to date.
Yes, there's going to be lots more challenges ahead for us. But the more we get the news out, which is really great, for people to not spread firewood around and for people to start looking at their ash trees. Now, it is important to know that we do have ash dieback in our stands right now, probably because we've had so many droughts. So just because you look up in your ash tree and you see that there's dead branches and the crowns are dying, doesn't mean we have it. But the trouble is that we can't tell the difference. It's really hard to tell. So there are resources to help us. But the thing about if your tree was getting attacked by an emerald ash borer, there should be woodpeckers pecking around up there. There are different clues that are similar to the ash dieback, but it would be hopefully more noticeable that there was this increased other activity going on. But there, certainly give those folks a call that I said, or check the websites. And we should talk again so that we can give you guys some better resources when we start knowing the best places for homeowners to go.
Yes, be excellent to keep us up to date. It sounds like a very big issue over a lot of period
of
time.
It is.
We've been speaking with Myra Timer from the USDA Forest Service, Superior National Forest, about ash trees and the spread of emerald ash borer. Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Myra?
Well, I just want people to not have such a doom and gloom. I mean, there's things we can do, but really, it's kind of like, don't drive drunk and don't let your friends drive drunk. Don't let your friends bring firewood either. I mean, speak up. We should not be moving this pest around because it is going to be huge.
Well, thanks for joining us, Myra, and we'll speak again soon about this.
Thank you.